Hello everybody. This is a translation of the message from Pierre Lacoste, visiting our church from the Free Evangelical Church in Pessac, near Bordeaux, March the 9th, 2025. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, after having had a prayer for illumination. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" This story from the Gospel of Luke tells us about the sending of the disciples on a mission. 72 disciples, or 70 according to ancient manuscripts, sent out two by two. There is a very interesting testimony from a man named Pliny the Younger, a Roman senator and governor of Asia Minor at the beginning of the 2nd century. He wrote to Emperor Trajan to inform him of the Christian movement spreading across the country. "Christians are model citizens, although they believe in a strange superstition. The resurrection of a Jewish carpenter crucified and resurrected. And yet this religion spreads through the crowds like an epidemic by contact." A century earlier, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." But that did not prevent this small handful of witnesses, men and women, from going across the countries of the Mediterranean to announce this strange superstition of the carpenter crucified and resurrected. Today, there are 2.5 billion Christians in the world, but the harvest is still as plentiful, since there are still 5 billion human beings to reach, and there are few motivated workers ready to go like sheep among wolves. We go rather like sheep among the flock. We think and live like everyone else. We are connected to our networks, which give us keys to reading what is happening in the world. And during this time, Christ's call to the mission still resonates. And the big question is to know what exactly Jesus expects of us. A question can set us on the road. Who is the church of the 21st century for? Is the church a place for self-interest, or are we looking for the same as ourselves? Is it a distributor of spiritual services? We press the praise emotion button or the sermon intellectual button, or we come to measure the quality of community life, and we build a church that meets our needs. Since I returned from Lebanon more than 5 years ago to Bordeaux, I have lost count of the number of Christian visitors in search of the ideal church. And since we are the most useless church in the world, needless to say, that many of these visitors do not come back. They move on looking for better spiritual or pastoral services. But the church is something else entirely. The church is not a space to inhabit. I believe it is a space to cross, a place where the call of Christ resounds. This living word that creates discomfort and desire in us. As soon as we sit down, this word calls us to get up, to set off again, but with a little faith and hope in our hearts. Like the brothers and sisters of the crucified and resurrected carpenter, we resume our journey, full of the life of Christ. Even if it is good to live among ourselves, even if I like to meet up with my free sisters and brothers from Bergerac, I believe that the church is not the place where Christians live. The vital space of Christians is the world. As soon as the church sees itself as an end, the main goal of Christian life, and not as a means, it puts itself in danger and loses the thread of its mission. Let us see what is asked of our 72 disciples sent on a mission in the world. What is their message? Peace to this house. What does peace to this house mean? Is it a polite formula? According to Jeremiah, the false prophets only have the word peace on their lips while there is no peace. Peace upon this house is an active blessing that says that the presence of Christ in this house will transform the relationships between the inhabitants of this house. Some houses, some churches too, are led by the spirit of opposition, jealousy, domination, judgment, exclusion. The blessing of peace breaks the mechanisms of violence and lets enter into the house fraternal listening, understanding, support, mutual aid, the valorization of others, care. And this produces delicious fruits, the joy of being together, the desire to meet again, to smile at each other, to build, to take risks together. The peace of Christ is not a polite formula, it is a way of life. Second word of the missionary, the kingdom of God, has reached you. The missionary disciple does not preach a kingdom to come. He announces a good news, a good surprise, that of a kingdom that is already there, that is at work. The Christian mission is the time of accomplishment, not that of distant promises. Christians are not the messengers of a better world to come. They are the ambassadors of a world to seize and live here and now. What is to be lived is peace, reconciliation, fraternity. These things have a price. They are woven in the light of regular meetings and the deepening of relationships. Do not go from house to house or from church to church. Do not disperse. It is not the quantity of evangelistic tracts distributed that counts. It is the quality of the meetings, like taking the time to sit down and eat together, to listen together to the Word of God. Peace is a lifestyle. That is the gospel. Nothing very spectacular in the end. Evangelizing means leaving one secure domain to venture onto the path of the other without knowing where it leads me. It is therefore taking the risk of changing oneself. Note that here the missionary is not the one who gives, but the one who receives. Accommodation, care, food. And what he gives does not come from himself, but from the crucified and resurrected carpenter. The church is not a provider of spiritual services. It goes to meet everyone, whatever their lifestyle, their particularities. The church comes empty-handed and lets itself be fed, cared for, loved. The kingdom of God is the world upside down. The missionary does not just talk, he acts. Missionary action is blessing, healing, eating and drinking, depending on others, proclaiming. That's the program. Evangelizing is not bombarding people with Bible verses or conversion stories that only talk about us. Evangelizing is bearing witness to the life of Jesus the carpenter. Evangelization is not a speech that seeks to gain the support of others. It is not proselytism that uses persuasion techniques. It is only a testimony of life, peace and love abandoned to others, free of charge. Jesus commands his envoys to heal the sick. It is a ministry of proximity. To heal a sick person, you must start by sitting at their bedside, taking their hand, looking at them, talking to them. The ministry of deliverance is vast and mysterious. But each time that we have thus witnessed in intimacy of the life of Christ, be sure that invisible, true and profound things have happened without our knowledge. Battles have taken place, deliverances, openings, inner secret healings have taken place. It is not we who have acted, but the Spirit of Christ through our word. How will their mission go? Sometimes well. Peace will flood into the house and upset the lives of its inhabitants, but sometimes less well. I send you like sheep among wolves. This means that there will be more opposition than welcome, more doors or slaps that slam than doors and hearts that open. But the one who closes the door in the face of the disciples is not judged for all that. Have you observed the missionary's message to him? It is the same word for the one who opens the door or for the one who closes it. The kingdom of God has arrived. The same message for those who welcome or for those who reject. When a house closes, the disciple does not ask for fire from heaven to fall on it. On the contrary, he says, "The kingdom of God has arrived for you too, whether you like it or not. He is there. He is knocking at your door. He will not let you go." "Here," says Jesus, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him." The missionary does not have the right to judge, threaten, or despair of the other. He only pronounces words of peace and announces the presence of the kingdom of God. To be completely honest, it is not only the houses of others that are closed to the message of the gospel. The church also knows how to close its doors to the action of the Holy Spirit. As soon as it reserves its graces or blessings for those who conform to it and rejects the others, the atypical, the critics, the dreamers, the innovators, it is no longer a missionary except of itself. It is no longer the church. Finally, only one thing is forbidden to the transmitter of the kingdom of God. He has no right to despair of man. The God of Jesus Christ hopes in each of us. We cannot despair of others. Since the kingdom of God has arrived, all that remains for me is to let you go. The church is not the goal of our call, it is the world. Let us therefore go to meet him, loaded with words of peace and friendship in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.